بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, we have been discussing the relation between a mu'min and himself or herself, other people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to ourselves, at the same time that we have to be very hopeful, we have to be appreciating all the talents and potentials that Allah has put in every single of us. At the same time that we should know that we can reach high level of perfection, we can be stronger than mountains, we can overcome all the challenges. We have to know that this is when we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to me, disconnected from Allah, I should know that I cannot do anything. Not only my existence depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the continuity of my existence and anything that I want to do or even just to be able to breathe depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a mu'min should not rely on himself or herself when it's in relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you should rely on your efforts, on your talents, on your skills in connection with Allah by not becoming burden on other people, dependent on other people. So we have to understand these three relations properly. We talked about the misconception that some people think that we should just rely on ourselves and we don't need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance. We said this is wrong. I promise that I will quote two passages, one from Imam Khomeini, one from Allama Tabatabai, in this regard. In his book Adab al-Salat, Imam Khomeini says, you know, this is in Farsi, as you know, he says, "Az wazayif buzurg salik ilallah wa mujahid fi sabilillah." One of the great responsibilities or duties of a wayfarer, someone who is traveling towards Allah, is wayfarer, a salik, wa mujahid fi sabilillah, the one who is struggling for the sake of Allah, honest ke dar khilal mujahid va suluk az e'temad be nafs be kulli dast kashad. In this process of a spiritual upliftment, this struggle, he must reach the point that he completely stops relying on himself or herself. As اعتماد به نفس به کلی دست کشد و جبلتن متوجه به مسبب الاسباب و فطرتن متعلق به مبدع المبادی گردد. Essentially, in his or her soul, he would be only paying attention to Allah, who is Musabbibul Asbab, the one who makes all the causes. If there are causes like medicine, like, I don't know, food, water, these things that we use in order to meet our needs, who is making these things efficient or useful? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should reach the point that you don't need to impose on yourself or force yourself to see everything from God. This should become your habit. This should become your nature, that you see every good coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, no one is doing anything and nothing is able to do anything unless it is with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. و از آن وجود مقدس اسمت و حفظ طلب کند. You should reach the point that from the holy existence, from that holy existence, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask protection. You ask Allah to protect you, to preserve you. و به دستگیری آن ذات اقدس اعتماد کند. And be sure and confident that Allah is going to help you. When he or she is alone, is reflecting, is meditating, is praying, he or she would go to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. So you see, this is a very important step and at the same time a station in your spiritual journey, that you reach the point that without any exaggeration, without saying and not meaning, no, really, you believe that everything depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not on me, not on other people or other beings, only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, most of us, we can only see Allah's involvement when a miracle happens. So if a miracle happens, it's from Allah. For example, like miracle of Musa or Isa alayhi salam. Or for example, in extraordinary things, if someone has cancer, and all the doctors say that there is no treatment and cure, then he is cured, and doctors are surprised. This is something that happens. We say, Alhamdulillah, Allah cured him. But if someone was ill and took some medicine and he was cured, say, Alhamdulillah, the medicine worked. So for us, it must be something just extraordinary or a miracle, so that we see the hand of Allah there. We see the involvement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a mu'min who is very well informed, he knows that everything, whether in our eye is easy or difficult, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't need to be a miracle. Or you can say everything is a miracle. Do you think the fact that today you managed to get up, this is not important? You need just to see the asa of Musa alayhi salam so that you see it's Allah's work. Every time we get up, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every moment, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't think that it was me who was able to come tonight here. Without Allah's blessing, how could we come here? The easiest thing that you can do it without any thinking, still it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show you and give you a lesson, then you would not be able to do even the easiest things. Even maybe you forget your name, you forget your salat, It's not that, you know, when you have something big and, you know, you have to, for example, have presentation in front of thousands of people, you ask Allah for help. But when you are, for example, speaking as normal and as usual, you think that you can do it and you can manage it. No. Everything depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is easy or difficult in our eyes, it all depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Khomeini says that this is one of the great responsibility and duties of a person who is wayfarer towards Allah. Allama Tabatabai rahimahullah also in Al-Mizan, he says what some people say that we should rely on ourselves, it is wrong. And he says what the Quran teaches us as a virtue is that we should rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not rely on ourselves. So now I want to mention the second aspect, which is not to rely on other people and not to rely on means and instruments, although you have to work through the system, through this system of cause and effect. I'm not saying that you should not work, you should not, I don't know, do, for example, a study, you should not, you know, when become ill, go to doctor. No, you should do all these things, as inshallah we will explain. But you should know that, again, all these things can function when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to function. Unfortunately, we, again, here, like the case of our own affairs, here also, unfortunately, when we have natural, ordinary ways of meeting our needs, we normally forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have a friend who can help me. I don't know, my doctor can help me. My manager is going to help me. When no one is to help us, we say, I ask Allah for help. But you have to ask Allah for help all the time. Not just when no one is there, you say, I ask Allah for help. All the time we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. I selected for you a hadith from Usul al-Kafi by Shaykh Kulayni, rahmatullah alayh, volume 2, page 66. This hadith is also mentioned in other books. And the hadith is about having your trust in God and not in people. So the narrator of hadith says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said he saw in some of the books, maybe some of the previous scriptures, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَمَجْدِي وَارْتِفَاعِي عَلَىٰ عَرْشِي. Very powerful qasam. By my dignity and glory and greatness and high position on my throne. لَأَقْطَعَنَّ عَمَلَ كُلِّ مُؤَمَّلٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ غَيْرِ بِالْيَأْسِ. Whoever puts his hope in other people, not in me, he's going to be disappointed. So if you put your hope and trust in your friends, in your family, in your, I don't know, colleagues, in your government or whatever, anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sooner or later you will be disappointed. وَلَأَكْسُوَنَّهُ ثَوْبَ الْمَذَلَّةِ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ. Also he would lose his honor and dignity in front of people. Because this is the nature of people. Unless they are mu'min. Mu'min is exception. But people who are not really mu'min, when you ask them a few times for help, then your respect comes down. The first time they say, yes, of course. The second time, yes. And no, of course. The third time, no. The fourth time say, go away. So this is what they may say or may not say, but in the behavior reaction, you would see the difference in their attitude. If you keep going and asking people for help, it's opposite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you go to Allah more often, you would receive more pleasing and more respectful treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would lose his honor. وَلَأُنَحْيَنَّهُ مِنْ قُرْبِ Also, I will push him away from nearness to me. If you want to go to people and you think that they can give you what you want, then you will lose your nearness to me. وَلَأُبَعْدَنَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ My favor and grace will be kept away from him. أَيُؤَمِّلُ غَيْرِي فِي الشَّدَائِدِ وَالشَّدَائِدُ بِيَدِي When there are calamities, when you have difficulties in your life, do you hope other people to help you while everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These difficulties can be sorted out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَرْجُو غَيْرِي وَيَقْرَعُ بِالْفِكْرِ بَابَ غَيْرِ He is thinking and in his thought he knocks the door of other people while بِيَدِي مَفَاتِيحُ الْأَبْوَابِ You knock other people's door while the keys of all the doors are with me. وَهِيَ مُغْلَقَةٌ وَبَابِي مَفْتُوحٌ Everyone else has closed his door. It's only my doors which are open. Babi maftuhun liman da'ani. Whoever calls me, my door is open for him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this hadith Qudsi, he very gently complains. The way, you know, we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very unfair. So one of the ways that we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not fair, is here. Allah says, فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي أَمَّلَنِي لِلنَّوَائِبِهِ فَقَطَعْتُهُ دُونَهَا Who is the one who put his hope and trust in me for the difficulties, and I left him alone, I abandoned him? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي رَجَانِي لَعَظِيمَةٍ فَقَطَعْتُ رَجَاءَهُ مِنِّي Who is the one who had a great haja, a great request, and I didn't give, I didn't care? Yes, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the great care that he has and concern and love that he has, maybe he knows what you ask is not the best maslahat, the best interest of you. He may give you something better. Certainly he gives you something better if he doesn't give you what you want. But it's not that he doesn't pay attention, he doesn't care. He cares, but he gives you the best. Sometimes a child, for example, who shouldn't eat something and doctor said, you know, this is harmful for his health, insists on mother, give me this. This food or this, I don't know, chocolate. Mother knows that this is not to the maslaha of the child, to the interest of the child. So maybe mother gives the child something else. Maybe mother just tries to take the child, you know, somewhere to make him forget. But it's not that mother doesn't have care. It's not that mother doesn't, you know, show love. It's out of love and care that sometimes the mother may not give the child exactly what the child wants, but for sure mother has love and does something that she can and is good for the child. In the case of Allah, of course, is even more obvious because he has no limit. So مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي رَجَانِي لَعَظِيمَةٍ فَقَطَعْتُ رَجَاءَهُ مِنِّي جَعَلْتُ آمَالَ عِبَادِي عِنْدِي مَحْفُوظَةً Allah says all the requests and all the desires and dreams of my servants are preserved. If you ask Allah something, it's preserved, it's registered. But فَلَمْ يَرْضَوْا بِحَفْزِي, they are not happy with me preserving them. مَلَأْتُ السَّمَاوَاتِ مِمَّنْ لَا يَمَلُّ مِنْ تَسْبِهِ, I have filled my heavens with those who will never become tired or bored of doing tasbih. The angels, they constantly glorify Allah and they never become tired. But أَمَرْتُهُمْ أَلَّا يُغْلِقُ الْأَبْوَابَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِي, and I told them, don't block and close the doors, the gates between me and people. So the gates, as far as Allah is concerned, they are all open to us. فَلَمْ يَثِقُوا بِقَوْلِي, but people don't trust me when I say the doors are open. They don't want to try. They say it's closed. Allah is not listening. Allah is not giving answer to us. Have you honestly, sincerely tried his doors and then you were disappointed? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ تَرَقَتْهُ نَائِبَةٌ مِنْ نَوَائِبِي أَنَّهُ لَا يَمْلِكُ كَشْفَهَا أَحَدٌ غَيْرِي إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِي. Doesn't my servant know that when a calamity comes to him, no one can help him and solve the problem unless I permit and allow and give permission? فَمَالِي أَرَاهُ لَاهِيًا عَنِّي, I wish everyone knew Arabic because there's a beauty in the Arabic. Why my servant is لَاهِيًا عَنِّي means is preoccupied with everything and forgets me, doesn't show attention to me. أَعْطَيْتُهُ بِجُودِي مَا لَمْ يَسْأَلْنِي, I gave him something without, because of my generosity that he didn't ask for it. Allah has given us many things before we ask him. ثُمَّنْ تَزَعْتُهُ عَنْهُ, then I took it away from him. فَلَمْ يَسْأَلْنِي رَدَّهُ وَسَأَلَ غَيْرِ, for example, Allah gave you health. Did you ask for your health? You were not there to ask for your health. Allah gave you eyes, Allah gave you ear, you know, heart, kidney, everything working. Then you became ill. So your health and safety, everything was given by Allah without you asking. If something is taken, why you don't ask Allah again to give you? He gave you in the first place. Now also you should ask Allah to give you. فَلَمْ يَسْأَلْنِي رَدَّهُ وَسَأَلَ غَيْرِ, and he asked other people. أَفَيَرَانِي أَبْدَأُ بِالْعَطَاءِ قَبْلَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ ثُمَّ أُسْأَلْ فَلَا أُجِيبُ سَائِلِي, this is the way you think about me? I give you without you asking me and before you asking me, then you think if you have a haja and request and ask me, I'm not going to give you? Is it possible? أَبَخِيلٌ أَنَا فَيُبَخِّلُنِي عَبْدِي, am I such a miserly lord that my servant thinks this way about me? أَوَلَيْسَ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ لِي, is not that generosity is my character? أَوَلَيْسَ الْعَفْوُ وَالرَّحْمَةُ بِيَدِي, isn't that forgiveness and mercy is in my hand? أَوَلَيْسَ أَنَا مَحَلُّ الْآمَالِ, is not that I am the one that people should go for their hajat? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحْلَ سَمَاوَاتِي وَأَحْلَ أَرْضِي أَمَّلُوا جَمِيعًا, if all inhabitants of earth and skies, if all inhabitants, they come with their haja to me. ثُمَّ أَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مِثْلَ مَا أَمَّلَ الْجَمِيعِ, so if all inhabitants, how many trillions or, you know, trillion, I don't know, angels and, you know, arwah, all are there. If I give to each of them what all of them have asked. Okay, if you collect all the hajat of all these inhabitants, and then I give to each of them what all of them ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man taqassa min mulki mithlu uzv zarratin," even to the size of a particle is not reduced from my treasure. I'm not losing anything. So if we are ourselves limited and weak and miserly, we should not think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that. فَيَا بُؤْسًا لِلْقَانِطِينَ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. So bad end is waiting for the people who have no hope in me. They are despaired with respect to my mercy. So when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be 100% sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first capable, powerful, and rich enough to give us whatever we want. Second, he is very kind and merciful. Therefore, there is no hesitation in giving us what he has. It's not that he doesn't have or he's going, you know, to lose. He has everything and he is kind and merciful. So no hesitation to give. If there is a problem, is either we don't really ask him, we just verbally ask him, but we are not asking him really. Like a person, for example, who sometimes, you know, speaks officially with you, and you know his heart is not there. He comes to you and says, "Sheikh, please give me advice." But you know that in his heart, he thinks that he knows better than Sheikh. He's just, you know, pretending. So if you know better, then you can solve your problem yourself. If we honestly, sincerely go to Allah and ask for help, and we know that neither me nor anyone else can help me, it's only Allah who can help me, so then he will give. There is no doubt about this. So here what we have is the concept of tawakkul, which is very important. A pillar in Islamic lifestyle is tawakkul. We have to do tawakkul. We have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If someone in his life has never told you a lie, if he says something, you believe. But why when Allah says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, we don't accept? Why there is a still doubt? And this doubt actually makes it not working for us. Inshallah, I will explain later. If you see these ayat are not applied to your life, it's because of you, not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah will provide for him a way out from the problem. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah will give him sustenance from those things that he didn't expect. مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. Allah's affairs always reach to the destination.
It's not that he decides to do something and in the middle someone can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's effort to reach the destination. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. But of course Allah has put measure for everything. You cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be acting unwisely. Allah is wise. Allah has set up a system. So, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. This ayah is very clear. There is no ambiguity. If someone trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient. If Allah, you feel is not sufficient, either you have misunderstanding or you have mistrust. You didn't trust properly. Otherwise, the ayah has no exception. It's very clear. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says, من أعطي ثلاثا لم يمنع ثلاثا. Whoever has been given three things, he would not be denied three other things. It means that for every one of the three, there is an outcome. If you have been given those three, the outcome would certainly come. من أعطي الدعاء أعطي الإجابة. If you are able to pray, إجابة is there. Just make sure that you pray. Don't worry about the outcome. If you pray to Allah with the conditions that must be there, then the answer is there. The second is من أعطي الشكر أعطي الزيادة. If you have been given tawfiq to be grateful, to do shukr, definitely the ni'mah will increase. Then Imam brings all the Quranic references. So, man u'tiya du'a, u'tiya al-ijab. Wa man u'tiya shukr, u'tiya ziyada. Wa man u'tiya tawakkul. If someone has been given the tawfiq of doing tawakkul, trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, u'tiya al-kifaya. Allah is sufficient for him. Thumma qal, then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, atalawta kitab Allah azza wa jal. Have you recited the book of Allah? Wa man yatawakkal ala Allah fahuwa hasbuh. Surah Talaq verse 3. So it means that tawakkul definitely will lead to finding Allah sufficient. وَقَالَ لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Chapter 14, verse 7. وَقَالَ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Chapter 40, verse 60. If you believe in these things, you will see the result. If you doubt, you would not see the result. So, now I want to explain something that I think inshallah would be useful for all of us and may help us inshallah in better using tawakkul, dua, shukr, salat, tawassul, ziyara, all these things. Sometimes we wonder why I had a very important issue in my life and I kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but Allah didn't give me. Why I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I started a business and I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but my business didn't go well. Why I tried hard to upbring my children Islamically but now my children or some of my children are not that good. I really tried hard. I really was asking Allah for help. Why it didn't work? So Here we have to consider a few points. First of all, we have to know that this world is the world of limitation. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute and His rahmah has no limit, His knowledge no limit, power no limit, but this world is not capable to receive unlimited rahmah of Allah. If this world was capable of receiving unlimited rahmah of Allah, then each of us could have whatever we wanted. But this world is limited. Imagine if, for example, there is a river. So people love to have their house near the river. But can all inhabitants of earth have their houses near the river? No. Some people can have, some people have to go few meters away, some people have to go more away, some people have to go kilometers away. So for some people, having water is easy, for some people it becomes difficult. Imagine in society, if everyone wants the best job, so how many people can have the same job? What about then other jobs? So there is a competition. There is something that everyone wants, but is not enough. So first of all, we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world in the best possible form, not in the perfect form. This is the best possible world, but it's not perfect because dunya cannot be perfect. Material world cannot be perfect. Perfection is in heaven. In heaven, first, no one would be harmed by other people. This dunya is not perfect because one person can come and harm you. A person who is driving carelessly can hit you. All your life you become blind. This is the nature of dunya. If someone is not careful, he can damage you. In heaven, no one can harm another person. In dunya, there is limitation. What I want, if there is, for example, a fruit here, I want that fruit, then someone else cannot have that fruit. But in heaven, there is no such limitation. Everyone can have what he wants. So this world is not perfect. It's the best possible world. It's the best world within the limits of physics. And actually, this serves the purpose. Because if it was perfect and there was no limit and restriction, no interaction between people, then we were not able to be tested. Our great opportunities for building ourselves and gaining credits is because there is limitation. When there is shortage of food, then people are tested. Are they charitable or not? When people are not able, for example, to find good, job, then they are tested. Are they then going to rob, for example, or they are going to remain muttaqi and have very simple and, low standard life, but they don't want to do anything haram? Many other ways of being tested. So we should know that this world is not a world in which everyone can see what he wants or she wants from this dunya. Not because Allah is not capable, not because Allah doesn't love us, because this is the nature of this world. You know the story that Rumi says about a person who wanted to have tattoo. So he went to the person who makes tattoo and said, "I want a lion." So he put the needle and started making the tail. It was very painful. So he said, "What is this?" He said, "It's a tail." He said, "It doesn't need tail." Then he put the needle and again was painful. "What is this?" He said, "This is a leg, doesn't need leg. Then this is back, doesn't need. Then neck, doesn't need. Then head, doesn't need. So he got angry. He said, "Shir biyalo domo eshkam, shir biyalo domo eshkam, Khoda ham nafarid." Even Allah has not created such a lion that you want me to create for you. A lion that has no head, no stomach, no neck, nothing. So, sometimes we ask something which is not possible. You should have a realistic expectation of life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you want from dunya and akhirah, but always say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that with respect to spiritual things, to the things about akhirah, I am sure that they are 100% good and possible. With respect to the thing that I have asked you for dunya, please give me them if they are my best maslaha. If they are not my best maslaha, or if they are not possible, give me something better. In this way, you will always be satisfied and you will get the answer. But if you limit your request to something that you want from dunya, and then that thing is not your maslaha or maslaha of other people, then you may not see the answer. But this doesn't mean that Allah doesn't love you or doesn't care for you. This is one point. The second thing is that you have to be patient. Sometimes something that you ask takes time. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives everything immediately. Sometimes He doesn't give you immediately because of some problems in your dua. There are things that would cause delay. But sometimes it's not a problem in you that causes delay. It's the issue itself that needs time. Because, you know, sometimes what we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depends on many, many other factors. Sometimes you ask something, for example, imagine a nation prays for freedom. But freedom is not something that it's only dependent on the people who pray. Freedom is something that the whole nation have to work for it. So sometimes it takes time till people are prepared. But when your answer is delayed, it doesn't mean that Allah is not answering. Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa ali wa alayhi salam. Who was very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ibrahim. A Nabi, a Rasul, a friend, an Imam. All these positions that Ibrahim alayhi salam has. But this Ibrahim, till he became old, he didn't have a child. And he loved, Ibrahim had great love. You know, some people love to have children, but it's not that it's a great thing for them. Some people have great love. Ibrahim seems to me that he was a person who very much wanted to have children. And this is why, you know, many times you see Ibrahim is talking about his Zurriya. For example, you know, when he leaves Ismail, he says, Askantu min Zurriyati bibadi. Allah, I'm leaving my progeny here. When Allah said, you are imam, he quickly said, wa min dhurriyati. Or for example, when he was raising the foundation of Kaaba, again, he said, oh Allah, please make us Muslimain, and also wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan. So he was very concerned about Zurriya. Anyway, this great man, this friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for decades didn't have any child. But did he think that Allah doesn't love him? Did he, you know, develop any kind of negativity towards Allah? No. And he didn't know that actually Allah has great plan for him. not only Allah is going to give him child, Allah is going to give him Ismail and Ishaq, two great prophets. Through one of them, all the Anbiya of Bani Israel, through one of them, Prophet Muhammad are imams. I am sure Ibrahim was not able to imagine that Allah is going to be so kind with him that would, you know, give him such great children. All Sadat, they are all children of Ibrahim. Imagine, mashallah, such a great progeny that Ibrahim has. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may find that it is the maslaha to delay. So you shouldn't think that I should stop praying. No, you should keep praying. But when is the best time? Allah would answer. The third point is that the manner of prayer, the manner of tawassul, the manner of tawakkul is very important. So very quickly, I mention something that inshallah I think would be useful. And maybe if needed tomorrow, we can expand on this. Dua is a spiritual mean, a spiritual instrument. Or as we have in hadith, الدُعَاء السِّلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ is a weapon. In your battle against the challenges of life, against the enemies, against shaitan, against nafs ammare, against the people who don't want your good, dua is a weapon. الدُعَاء السِّلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Salat. Salat is also a great source of power and assistance. استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Whenever you have haja, salat is helping you. Say your salat, and then after salat, ask for your haja. Tawakkul is a spiritual instrument. But when it comes to spiritual instruments or spiritual weapons, the power of the instrument, the reach of that weapon, is not fixed. If we have a knife here, or a sword here, or a gun here, or a tank here, for mu'min, kafir, they work the same way. You just need to know how to use them. It's not that, for example, if a person is mu'min, then this gun will shoot for a farther reach. Or, for example, something that is a mine, for example, which is anti-person, then for a mu'min becomes anti-tank. No, this is a physical object, and it is limited. You just need to know how to use it. Mu'min kafir, if they know how to use it, they can use it. This is dunya. Okay? But when it comes to the spiritual weapons, when it comes to spiritual means and instruments, or even when it comes to the spiritual impact of the physical things, which I don't want to explain now, it's not fixed. It's not the same. A dua, depending on who is making that dua, can be more or less powerful. The same dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Who is saying this? A person may say this and feel nothing, a person may say this, and as soon as he says this, he feels light. It's not the problem in salawat. The problem is in who is using this. We may pray and nothing happens. But Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed. He said, several centuries before Rasulullah, وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He prayed for the appointment of Rasulullah several centuries ago, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Ibrahim. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. This is what Ibrahim asked. إِبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. The only difference is that he said first, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and Allah first says, يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ. So dua of Ibrahim was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showed its result after several centuries and changed the whole world. If Rasulullah was not there, the world was not the same world. This is dua of Ibrahim. So, dua, depending on who is the one who is praying, can have no impact. Some people's dua is rejected. It can have little impact. It can have great impact for your life. It can have great impact for your family, for your community, or for humanity. This is the power of dua. Tawakkul. Our discussion was tonight about tawakkul. I give you one example, and this, inshallah, will clarify the subject. You know the story of Abraha attacking Mecca. And that was the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. So, with very big army equipped with elephants, and elephants, you know, compared to horse and I don't know camel, you know, you see the power of elephant is much more. So they brought very huge army to destroy Kaaba, because they had built another place of worship and they didn't want to have a rival. At that time, Hazrat Abdul Muttalib was in charge. We say, you know, Kilidar, the patron. He was the patron of Kaaba. When Abraha reached the area, he stationed outside Mecca and confiscated animals of the people of Mecca who were in that area. Among those animals were the camels and animals of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, when he heard about them confiscating his camels, as you know, went to see Abraha. So he was very charismatic person, and with the, you know, awe and obuha, as we say, that he had, Abraha was very surprised, very moved. So he thought that Hazrat Abdul Muttalib has come to ask him not to attack Kaaba. But then, to his surprise, Hazrat Abdul Muttalib only spoke about his camels and said, please release my camel. Or maybe he didn't say please, I don't know. In English, we have to say always please. So he said, release my camels. So he said, I am surprised. A person like you, I thought, has come to negotiate, to bargain about not attacking Kaaba. But you are only asking about your camel. What did he say? He said, Ana Rabbul Ibil. I am in charge of my camels.
and there is a Lord for this house. I am not in charge of this house. Although he was the patron, but he says there is a Lord for this house. How do you analyze this? And you should also know that at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Kaaba and destroyed the army of Abra, as we find in Surah Fil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arsala alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bihijaratin min sajjil faja'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. So Allah saved Kaaba. But in the course of history, many times Kaaba was destroyed. This is a question. If there is a Lord for this house, why this world sometimes protects Kaaba and sometimes doesn't protect Kaaba? Why in the time of Abdul Muttalib, he protected Kaaba and destroyed the army of Abraha, but in other times he may not? This needs explanation. And the answer is this. If those who are responsible for protecting Kaaba, if they see themselves as servants and they see Allah as the Lord of Kaaba, they do their best to protect Kaaba, but they know that they are not able to protect Kaaba. And they trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will come and help them. Allah will save Kaaba and make those people successful. But if you think that you can protect Kaaba because you have lots of people, or you have lots of money, or you have, you know, a great army, and Allah leaves you to yourself, then maybe just a rain comes and destroys Kaaba. Maybe enemies come and destroy Kaaba. Who is trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is important. So what saved Kaaba at the time of Abdul Muttalib was tawakkul of Abdul Muttalib. Allah is always there. But Allah, when there are mutawakkilun, who do their best, it's not that they are lazy, they do their best, but they know their limit, and they know that they are not in charge, they are not Rabb, they are just servant. Then Allah comes and helps them. So many times I think about this, about our situation. You know, we are all concerned about what is going to happen to religion, what is going to happen to Islam, what is going to happen to our youths, what is going to happen to our children. We have all the worries and concerns. But then I give some comfort to myself. And I say, if we do our best, but at the same time, by our heart, we know that I am just a servant of Allah. I am not able of upbringing my children. I am not able of, I don't know, guiding people. I am not able of making sure that Islam is going to progress. I am just a servant of Allah. I do my best, but Allah is in charge. We are no one. We are just instruments. If we have this approach, inshallah, Allah is going to help us. But if we think that I am very capable, I am very experienced, we have lots of money, we have lots of, I don't know, institutions, we have lots of muballigh, we publish lots of books, this is not going to help. Your approach is very important. And based on your approach, Allah decides whether to help you and bless your efforts or to leave you alone. If mu'mineen utilize what Allah has given them from talents, skills, resources, but knowing that success comes only from Him and trust Him, no one can defeat them. There's no way to be defeated.
So, dua, salat, tawakkul, tawassul, ziyarah may work for someone, may not work for someone else. Or may work for someone to a limited extent, for someone may have no limit, depending on the spirit and the soul of the person who is using this weapon. Because the power of these things come from Allah through your soul. It doesn't come through that mean. It comes through your soul. Inshallah, if needed, we can continue this tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among the people who are real mutawakkilin, inshallah. Allahumma ja'alna min al-mutawakkilin alayk. Tonight we remember Hazrat Qasim. And as you know, Hazrat Qasim is the son of Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam. And therefore, because of him being son of Imam Hussein's brother and being an orphan, he was under care of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he was like a child for Imam, but Imam maybe had more care for him because it was also a trust, an amana of his brother. In the night before Ashura, when Imam alayhi salam talked about what is going to happen tomorrow and that there would be martyrdom, it is said that Hazrat Qasim asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam that, am I also going to be among the people who is going to be killed tomorrow? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked him, what is your take about death? What is your opinion about death? And this teenager, this just 13 years old young man, he said, for me, death is sweeter than honey. He had great interest in Shahada. So the narrator of Hadith says that on the day of Ashura, Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan wa huwa ghulamun saghirun lam yablugh al-hulum. He was a very young boy, still not baligh, wanted to go to battle to defend Imam alayhi salam and the family of the Prophet. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw that this young boy, this amana of Hazrat Imam Hassan, is going to go for battle, اعتنقهُ فلما نظر الحسين إليه قد برز اعتنقهُ. Imam alayhi salam hugged him. وجعل يبكيان. Then they started crying. There is a very special expression here. He says, جعل يبكيان حتى غشي عليهما. They cried so much that they both became unconscious. This shows how much Imam Hussein loved this son. ثُمَّ اسْتَأَذَنَ الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فِي الْمُبَارَزَةِ. Then he said, please give me permission to go for battle. فَأَبَى الْحُسَيْنُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَنْ يَأَذَنَ لَهُ. Imam Hussein refused to give him permission. فَلَمْ يَزَلِ الْغُلَامِ يُقَبِّلُ يَدَيْهِ وَالرِّجْلَيْهِ. He started kissing the hands and the feet of Imam Hussein. Please give me permission to go and fight for you. In some books they say that he also remembered that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had given him an advice that when the world becomes very difficult and intolerable for you, look at what I have put in these hairs on your arm. So he went and opened and found that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had written for him, Ya Waladi Ya Qasim, Idha Ra'ayta Ammaka Al-Husayn Bikarbala,
My son Qasim, when you see your father, your uncle in Karbala, وَقَدْ أَحَاطَهُ الْأَعْدَاءُ, and he is surrounded by enemies, فَلَا تَتْرُكِ الْبِرَازَ وَالْجِهَادَ لِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ وَأَعْدَاءِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Don't go away from fight. وَكُلَّمَا نَهَاكَ عَنِ الْبِرَازِ عَاوِدْهُ لِيَأْذَنَ لَكَ, and if your uncle doesn't give you permission, keep insisting till he gives you permission. So Qasim took this to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and when Imam Hussein saw the writing of his brother, cried hard and gave Qasim permission. Hatta adhana lahu fa kharaja wa dumu'uhu tasilu ala khaddai. When Qasim got the permission, went crying and his tears were coming. Maybe these were tears of joy of being given the permission for jihad. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ إِن تُنْكِرُونِي فَأَنَا ابْنُ الْحَسَنِ سَبْتُ النَّبِيَّ الْمُصْطَفَى وَالْمُؤْتَمَنِ. If you don't know me, I introduce myself so that on the day of judgment you have no excuse. I am son of Hassan, grandson of the Prophet. Haza Husaynun kal asir al murtad bayna unasin la suqu sawb al mazan. And this is Husayn, my uncle, that you treat him like a captive. May Allah deny you water. The narrator says, وَكَانَ وَجْهُهُ كَفَلْقَةِ الْقَمَرِ. His face was like a piece of moon shining. فَقَاتَلَ قِتَالًا شَدِيدًا حَتَّى قَتَلَ عَلَى صِغَرِهِ 35 رَجُلًا. Despite his young age, he had a very good fight and he killed 35 of enemies. Then a narrator says, I was in the army of Ibn Sa'ad and I saw this young boy. Then I saw Amr ibn Sa'd al-Azdi says, وَاللَّهِ لَأَشُدَّنَّ عَلَيْهِ. This man said, by Allah, I am going to kill this boy. فَقُلْتُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ. I said, why you want to kill this boy? وَاللَّهِ لَوْ ذَرَبَنِي مَا بَسَدْتُ إِلَيَّ يَدِي. I said, by Allah, if this boy attacks me, I am not going to raise my hand to kill him. This is such an innocent person, progeny of Prophet. If he comes to attack me, I'm not going to react. How are you going to kill him? And also look around, you see there are many people who want to kill him, so there is no need for you to go and kill him. But this enemy of Allah said, وَاللَّهِ لَأَفْعَلَنَّ. He said, by Allah, I'm going to kill him. So he went towards Qasim, hatta daraba ra'sahu bis-sayf. Then he attacked Qasim with his sword and killed Qasim. وَبَغَى الْغُلَامُ لِوَجْهِهِ. Then Qasim fell down with his face on the soil. وَنَادَى يَا أَمَّا. He said, oh uncle. فَجَاءَ الْحُسَيْنُ كَالصَّقْرِ الْمُنْغَزِ. Imam Hussein very quickly came to the body of Qasim and killed that enemy of Allah. Then the narrator said, فَإِذَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ الْغُلَابِ وَهُوَ يَفْحَسُ بِرِجْلِ. Imam Hussein, after killing that enemy, was standing on the body of Qasim, and Qasim was moving his legs on the ground. Then Imam Hussein said, Ya izzu wallahi ala ammika an tad'uwahu fala yujibuk. أو يجيبك فلا يعينك أو يعينك فلا يغني عنك. By Allah, it's very difficult for your uncle to call him and he doesn't answer. Or he answers but cannot help you. Or if he tries to help you but cannot stop your murder. بُعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ قَتَلُوكَ. May those who have killed you be far from Allah subhanahu. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam took the body of Ghazib. قد وضع صدره على صدره. He put his chest on the chest of Ghazib. Imam Hussein alayhi salam also prayed to Allah, Allahumma ahsihim adada واقتلهم بددا ولا تغادر منهم احدا ولا تغفر لهم ابدا. Oh Allah, please destroy these people and do not forgive them. صبرا يا بنو عمومتي صبرا. Then Imam has patience for all the companions and all the members of the family. I just end with this poem. رخصتم ده تا که جان بازی کنم. This poet tries to describe the conversation between Hazrat Qasim and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. رخصتم ده تا که جان بازی کنم. سردهم آنگه سرفرازی کنم. Oh Hussein, please give me permission to give my life, to give my head, so that on the day of judgment I can raise my head. شاه فرمودش که ای پور حسن ای مرا چون جان شیرین در بدن. امام حسین said, oh son of Hassan, oh the one who is like my own soul in my body, چون بود در کامت ای جانا اجل. گفت شهزاده که احلا من اصل. امام حسین asked him, how is the taste of death for you? The prince said, it is sweeter than honey. جان چه باشد تا که قربانت کنم. پای مال سم اسبانت کنم. What is the value of life for me? Life has no significance. I want to give you my life. I want my body also to be damaged for you. شاه با شهزاده هم آغوش شد. سیل عشق آمد ز سر هوش شد. امام حسین embraced Qasim and they both started crying till they became unconscious. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.